During worship today, I was thinking about the set of songs that I selected earlier in the week for this worship set to be, and how all of the songs were on how great our God is and the power of His love and all the joy that we have in God. And then I started thinking about what the message is on today. And I started thinking about how some of the people in our pews on a given Sunday are in a different place than celebrating who God is in their life. They're struggling with things. Things don't make sense. They wonder if God even knows that they're here, if He really cares. Why am I going through this, Lord? And these things start going through their mind as we're singing songs about how great our God is. And occasionally they might hear the person next to them singing and praising and lifting their hands, and they think to themselves, why does that person get to praise you while I sit here and wonder? I want you to know that in one place in one of the songs that we sang today, it said, so that others will know how great our God is. When they look at us, when people who are hurting and wondering and feel like they're at a distance look at a Christian and they see that there's things in your life that just don't add up, but you're still praising your God, they wonder why. Why do you have such confidence in your God? Why do you have such trust when things don't seem to add up? People who don't know God yet as their Lord and Savior are looking to you to see what's different. And when we're going through things and we're willing to praise our God anyway, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, when we're willing to praise our God anyway, that's what they need to see in that moment. Some of you guys were here on Wednesday and you saw some odd behavior from me and some odd replies to some questions. And then when worship started today and I went back to the sound booth to try to change some of the songs, it was a continuation of Wednesday. And let me share why. So I have something going on in my leg. I've gone for tests. They think they know what it is, but they can't find it. And so they put me on a medicine that they said will have severe side effects. But if this happens to be what they think it is, this medicine will help. Well, I've been on the medicine for a while and it's not helping. But some of the severe side effects is I won't be able to relate what's going on in my head because my head is messed up. So, forewarning. If we go askew today, forewarning. But I believe that God has something for you anyways. Because I don't believe that God wastes any time. So, first story. I know a man, actually I know several people who would fit in the same category, but I know a man who was struggling. Who was struggling to try to figure out how to get through life. How to change some things that he didn't like in his life. How to fix who he was. How to leave some things behind. He tried and he tried and he tried. He recognized what was going on in his life and he began to recognize the harm it would do to other people around him if he continued on the path that he was on. And so he decided that he had to do something. So he started looking around and paying attention, trying to research. How do I fix this? How do I get rid of this? How do I move past this? How do I be a normal person? Nobody else is going through this same thing. Why? What's different about them than me? He kept fighting and fighting to figure it out, and years went by. Times would come and he would give up and he would say, this is just who I am. This must be how I was created. I can't fight it. How can I live with it? Then he started noticing that some of the people that were different claimed to be Christians, and so he wanted to know what that was about. And he started going to church, and then he tried a different church, and then he tried a different church. He tried this thing of saying these magic words and asking God into his heart so that everything would change. He tried praying, God, take this out of me. Fix me. Don't let people get hurt because of what's in me. But he still kept going around and around and around the same thing. He began to realize that he didn't understand what was going on, but he knew he couldn't do it. He couldn't fix it. He couldn't change it. Accepting it wasn't the answer. Learning to live with it wasn't the answer. It needed to go away, but he didn't know how. He didn't understand why it was there in the first place. As he began to realize that he needed help, he began to pray to God, Lord, I asked you to take this away, but you wouldn't. So there's got to be something I've got to learn. Lord, help me with what's going on inside of me. Heal me. Show me which direction to go. show me the answer and I'll do it. And then God spoke. And this man said, what he heard made absolutely no sense. It was craziness. It could not possibly be God. It had to be some other voice that was calling for him to do something utterly stupid in the human sense. And so he couldn't give in. And he continued praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. But he kept hearing the same thing. And then finally, he started hearing it from other people saying the same thing to him. And he thought to himself, this cannot be the answer. This cannot be what God wants from me. This is going to go horribly wrong if I do this. So he continued to hide. He continued to pretend and he continued to struggle. And I'm going to stop that story here for now. We have a few scriptures today. You're welcome to try to find them. I'm not going to wait because we have a few of them and we have a short amount of time. The first one is John 5, 2 through 9. John 5, 2 through 9. Which says, now in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called, in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porticos. In these porticos lay a great number of people who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the stirring of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down into the pool at appointed seasons and stirred up the water. The first one to go in after the water was stirred was healed of his disease. There was a certain man there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him laying there, helpless, knowing that he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? The invalid answered, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm coming to get into it myself, someone else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Immediately the man was healed and recovered his strength and picked up his mat and walked. What if it really would make the difference? What if the part that you're most afraid of is the part that's holding everything up? And let me explain how that story relates to the craziness of what Jesus said to him. One, that man had been laying there for years, hoping for a miracle. God would heal him if he could just be the first one into that water. But because he was invalid, other people would get into the water before him. Year after year after year after year. It was hopeless. Now what else you need to know about this time is that this was the Sabbath that this healing happened on. There was not supposed to be any working, and picking up your bed and carrying it was work. And so what did Jesus say to him? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. This man didn't debate with God at that point and say, but sir, we're not allowed to pick up our mat on this day. He did what sounded crazy. And as he moved to get up, the healing came over his body. He picked up the mat and he walked. And if you continue reading in Scripture, you see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law come after this man and say, what are you doing? It was not an acceptable thing in this time. Our next scripture is Matthew 6:30. Matthew 6:30 says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus is pointing out that God provides for our needs. He's also pointing out that these disciples who see all the miracles that are standing around him right now, after seeing everything that they've seen, still have little faith. That they don't recognize that God will provide all their needs. The next one is Matthew 16:5 through 10. Matthew 16:5 through 10. Which says, when the disciples reached the other side of the sea, they realized that they had forgotten to bring bread. Jesus said to them, watch out and be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They began to discuss among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you still not understand or remember the five loaves for the 5,000? And how many baskets you picked up afterwards? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you picked up? The next one. Matthew 17:19 through 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, "Why could we not drive it out?" They were trying to drive out a demon like they had done in the past, but this one wasn't leaving. He answered, "Because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. For I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and if it is God's will, it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus, over and over and over again, rebuked the disciples for seeing miracles, for seeing God's hand move in their lives and around them, and yet still struggling to believe that with God, all things are possible. With God, if it's His will, you could say to the mountain that we're sitting on, "Move from here to there," and it would move. Three more. Mark 5:34. Then He said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in Me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering." I'm not going to take time to explain that one because I'm going to talk a little bit more about that one in a few minutes. The next one is Mark 10:52. Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith and confident trust in My power has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. The last one, Luke 17:19. Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith, your personal trust in Me and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health." Here Jesus is pointing out that faith, confidence, trust in God has a huge impact on how you'll go through life. A primary truth that Jesus reiterated over and over and over again is that faith, confidence, trust in a God who can heal even this. What is your this today? A confidence that God can heal even this. Your faith in God will lead you to follow Him even when it sounds crazy. Your faith will allow you to take the step even when years have shown you that nothing can fix this. Your faith in God will be displayed as a Christian, a follower of God, when you leap to your feet and walk when every natural understanding says it's impossible. Jesus said to the woman who had spent everything going to every doctor and specialist, the woman who believed in her heart, "This man touches people and they're healed. He'd never help me, but if I could just touch the hem of His robe, I'll be healed. If I can just get close enough to Him, if I can just get close enough to touch His robe." She touched His garment and it happened. Jesus looked like He was going to say, "Hey, give that back," as He turned around to see where the power had went. But instead, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Not my hand, not my garment, but your confidence to reach out to Me. Your confidence that it is available to you. Your confidence that the power to fix even the unfixable in human eyes is available through Me." She had spent years and everything she had trying to be healed in the human perspective. But she didn't lose hope and faith that if she just got close enough to this one person, this man, the Messiah, that she would be healed. "Daughter, your confidence has brought this healing into your life. Now go and enjoy your life freed from this burden." Could you imagine what your life would look like if you were freed from this burden? Can you imagine how your relationships would play out if you weren't carrying this everywhere you went? She was freed because in her confidence in who He was, she reached out to touch Him. Afraid and trembling, she ran towards Him, fighting back the voices that were saying, "This is going to end horribly. What are you doing? No, stop. Turn around. Don't do this." Shaking uncontrollably, she worked her way through the people, through the obstacles. She could see His feet. She fell to her knees. "He's here. He's here." Tears welling up in her, she thrust her arm through the sea of legs and brushes her fingers across the garment, and the power flows. "Daughter, your confidence to move and come after Me has healed you. What step are you stopped at? What are you afraid to do? What are you afraid to let go of? Could it possibly be okay if you didn't keep a stranglehold on controlling this situation? Could you let go of that offense and accept that God just might show you something that would cause you to feel sorry for that person? You know, I heard somebody explain how they were able to forgive somebody who did something horrible, took something away from them that would never, ever, ever be able to be replaced. They said that through years of heartache, they tried everything they could think of to follow along with what Scripture said about forgiving, and they couldn't do it. It just wouldn't come out of their heart. That anger, that bitterness just wouldn't happen. And then one day they saw that person. And they heard about something in that person's life. They began to feel sorry for that person. And in that moment, when they understood that there was something unbearable in that person, they began to feel sorry for that person. And they were able to forgive them. Could you step forward and tell that person what it was that hurt you and changed you for all these years? Could you have confidence that if you take this step, sure, things might get ugly for a little while, but God promised never to leave you. So if you're stepping forward to do what is right, wouldn't He stretch out His hand and lead you through to the promised place? The Israelites that didn't have confidence and trust in God wandered around the wilderness for decades and died in that place. But the Israelites that did have confidence, the ones that said, "This is the way God laid it out. Let's go. Nothing is bigger, stronger, or more powerful than our God. Let's go." These people received the promise. Sure, it took a while, but these people got what God wanted them all to have because they had confidence in God, and they were willing to move even when it was scary. Remember, God says, "My plans are for you, not against you. Plans to lift you up, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope." Hope and a future. Good is what God wants in your life. Happiness, wholeness, friendships, blessings to share with more to spare. God's plans are not against you. God has not abandoned you. He's calling you. He's saying, "Do you trust me enough to step out of that security of the boat you're in? Do you trust me to step out onto the waves that you've swam through for all your life? You know that your body goes through them. Do you trust me enough to step out onto them? Do you have enough confidence that I can do anything that if I showed you that I was standing on the storm-ridden waves, would you listen to my call when I called you out among them? Would you listen and would you set your eyes on me and walk through the stormy waves crashing all around you? Would you set your eyes on me and walk right into my arms? Do you have enough confidence in who I am?" Here's where we are today. Some people here today experienced something that hurt them, something that scared them, something that changed them forever. And God spoke to you maybe years ago. What did He say to you? Do you remember what He said? Maybe you didn't like what He said. Maybe you're afraid to do what He said. Maybe you're still angry and don't want to do what He said. You've heard it again in an audible voice as a person or multiple people repeated His words to you, but you're shaking inside. What if He doesn't come through? What if this pain happens again? What if it gets worse? Is He really there? Does He really care? God, help me. God, help me with my unbelief. Help me to trust You. Help me to step out of this boat that I'm in. Walk past each crashing wave with my eyes fixed tightly on Yours. Lord, I know once I step out, I'll have nothing physical left to hold on to as the waves crash against me. What will I hold on to? Lord, help me with my unbelief. Oh yeah. I remember in Your word, God, even though Peter was still on his way to You, he wasn't there yet when he started to slip under. You reached down and pulled him back up. Lord God, love me like that. As I step towards You, protect me and help me back up. If any wave takes me down, please grab my hand as I reach for Yours. Lord God, I'm scared. Please help my unbelief. Help me to place my confidence in You and help me to follow Your lead. Tell me once again, what do I need to do in order to let go and surrender my heart, my whole heart, to You? Remember the story at the beginning of our message today? Remember the man who was too scared to take that crazy step? God spoke to someone else and that person shoved this man out into the waves. But in doing so, that person fell into the waves too. The man struggled and struggled to help this person back into the boat, but it just wasn't happening. Try after try, it It would look like it might, and then another wave would crash and drag them under, then another one, and another one. Lord, help me. This isn't how it was supposed to go. It was supposed to be me. Save this person. It's not their fault. Help them. Help them, God. Where are you? Just then God reached down and lifted the man up on top of the waves, lunging back for the other person. God gripped his hand. The man turned and looked at God, and God said, apart from me, you cannot get there. But with me, there will be healing. As the man clung to God, he watched the other person give up and begin to sink. He felt his heart tearing into pieces, watching and watching. He looked to God and said, aren't you going to do something? God whispered, I'm strong enough to hold her. Don't worry. I love her and I won't let her go. What is God calling you to do? Are you fighting against him? Is someone else going to get hurt while you wait to move? Do you need help? I know that when I stand up here and I deliver what God's put on my heart, that every single week people receive something completely different than I ever thought was coming out of my lips. 2 weeks ago, I delivered a message, and I've thought for the past 2 weeks without going and grabbing my notes, what was it that I preached about? I can tell you that so many people came to me that 1 week to talk to me about what they received from that message, that not a single one of them received what I preached about that Sunday. I think, and I thought when I was putting this message together about the formula that pastors try to use when they put together a message. And I gave up on that formula shortly after coming to this church because I didn't see it doing anything. I didn't see the Holy Spirit moving in me outlining what was going to be for the Sunday service. And I found that when I stand up here and share my heart and God's word and how they fit together, the people who are sitting in the pews on that day receive something more than when I put 3 points together and then round them up at the end. And so I'd like to stand here today and say to you, this is the 3 points to take away. But I realize that God knows much more about you than I ever will. And my prayer is that he delivered something to your heart today that you can only receive from him. Let's pray. Scripture says, pray to your Father in heaven who loves you, and he will hear you and he will come to you. Father, we need you today. You know what is in each heart that's in this building today, each heart that's not in this building today, each heart that's been in this building and has walked away, Lord God. My prayer today is for every single one of these hearts, whether they're here or not. Every heart that may have been here at one time and walked away because they were hurt, my prayer is for them too, Lord God. Please move as only you can in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Help us to recognize that the reason your word says not to allow things into our lives is because they will cause damage in our lives. They will cause heartache. They will cause things to be carried for generations that you don't want us to have in our lives. They don't fit in your will for our lives. Your will is to prosper us, to give us hope and a future, not to harm us. But when we get a hold of these things that are in the world, they bring harm to us. They're not in your will for our lives. Lord God, help us to hear your voice. Help us to recognize what these things are and to lay them down. Help us, Lord God, to release these things out of our hearts. And to let our hearts be filled with you, with your word, with your love, with your mercy and grace, with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, fill our hearts and cleanse us from the things that have attached to our lives and are holding us down from what you truly want us to have at this point in our lives. Lord God, we turn this over to you and we listen for your voice to show us what it is and what the step is you want us to take. And even if it sounds crazy, Lord God, we want to follow you. So help us to take this step. Help us to have faith and confidence in you. Help us to receive the healing that comes through faith in who you are and that nothing is impossible for you. Help us to receive, Lord God. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this promise that's in your scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.